Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the workshop, you will hear from our panel of expert speakers. We will allow time for questions and comments following the presentation. Instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the workshop, please press star then zero on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, this workshop is being recorded. I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Senior Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Rob, and I too would like to welcome everyone to today's program. And today's program is a program that's being done with the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care. And the title is Updates from the American Society of Clinical Oncology, or ASCO 2024, on triple negative breast cancer. And this program is done in collaboration with the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, and as well as a partnership. Today's program is made possible by the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, an independent grant from Merck and Company, Inc., and a grant from Genentech. And we really want to thank them for their support of this program. First, I want to let you know there are over 326 participants on the call today. You come from all of the United States, from both urban, rural, suburban, and frontier communities. And we also have international participants from Canada, Germany, Guatemala, France, Ireland, Kenya, the Philippines, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom. So this is truly a global call, and we are delighted to have all of you on this program today. And this program is one that is a very important one, particularly for the triple negative breast cancer community as well. It's very important. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our first speaker. And our first speaker is Dr. Kamal Abu Hussein, and Dr. Hussein is Assistant Professor of Medicine, Cooper Medical School of Rowan University, Adjunct Assistant Professor, Department of Breast Medical Oncology, MD Anderson Cancer Center, Co-Director of the Janet Knowles Breast Cancer Program, Director of the Breast Cancer Clinical Trials, MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper. And Dr. Hussein will be addressing new research on triple-negative breast cancer presented at ASCO, triple-negative breast cancer-specific treatment updates, and updates on clinical trials in advancing treatment choices, including investigational new therapies and clinical trials. It's really my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Hussein.
Thank you so much, Dr. Messner, for the kind presentation, and thank you for inviting me to speak on this very important topic. So the topic of triple negative breast cancer, I think it continues to be the one subtype of breast cancer with the most challenges. It's a subtype that has a highest rate of recurrence and mortality, and there's a lot of research that is geared towards hopefully changing that moving forward. When you look at the triple negative breast cancer, you'll see that it's defined by the lack of expression of targetable proteins such as the estrogen, the progesterone receptors, and the absence of the HER2 amplification. So the three markers are negative, hence the name triple negative. And all of this has made us rely on cytotoxic chemotherapy for decades because we didn't have any targets to develop any drugs against. And in a prior workshop in cancer care, we did review the results of a very important trial called the KEYNOTE-522, which is a trial that used four chemotherapy drug regimen in combination with an immunotherapy called Keytruda or pembrolizumab. And that was all used in the neoadjuvant or before surgery setting for early stage high risk triple negative breast cancer. And we did see an improvement in the chances of making the cancer disappear in the breast and the lymph nodes. And when we say resolution of the cancer or making the cancer disappear, it's usually referred to in medical oncology as PCR or pathologic complete response. The pathologic complete response means complete resolution of the cancer. And with chemotherapy alone, we do have numbers in the range of 51% success rate, With the addition of immunotherapy in this regimen, we were able to go up, at least in the initial results, up to 64.8%. And this has become the new standard of care that is offered to most patients with stages 2 and 3 triple-negative breast cancer. This is a beautiful regimen. However, it does come with a great deal of adverse events. So I think the serious events that happened from the treatment were up to 32.5%. So we concluded from that trial that the addition of pembrolizumab to anthracycline taxane platinum chemotherapy, which is the chemotherapy backbone, improves the chances of achieving this end result called pathologic complete response, and an improvement also in event-free survival in triple-negative breast cancer patients. Now, what about patients who cannot receive anthracyclines, which is one of the most important chemotherapeutic agents in treatment of triple-negative breast cancer? There was a very important trial called the NeoPACT trial, and the aim of this study was to assess the efficacy of anthracycline-free neoadjuvant regimen of pembrolizumab plus two chemotherapy agents. One of them is called carboplatin, and the other is called docetaxel in triple-negative breast cancer. So they studied patients with stage 1 to stage 3 triple-negative breast cancer patients, and they exposed them to the three drugs, the two chemo agents and the immunotherapy with pembrolizumab, and the primary endpoint was the same also, achieving PCR. And they saw that the PCR rate in this trial was about 60%, and over the course of the first 2 years, about 88% of the patients continued to live without disease recurrence. And overall, this is a well-tolerated regimen. That's a really important point. Shifting gears, I would like to talk about the use of immunotherapy in triple-negative breast cancer patients after surgery. So there was a very important trial that was presented in ASCO of 2024 called the A-BRAVE trial. So triple-negative breast cancer is the most immunogenic breast cancer subtype, and this may account for its sensitivity to the immune checkpoint inhibitors. The A-BRAVE trial was designed to evaluate the efficacy of an immunotherapeutic agent called avelumab. This is an anti-PD-L1 antibody as adjuvant or post-surgery treatment for patients with early triple-negative breast cancer patients at high risk. This is a phase 3 randomized adjuvant study that let patients complete a whole year of treatment with avelumab versus observation. It studied a total of 477 patients who had triple-negative breast cancer who were considered to be at high risk of relapse, and the patients were enrolled after completing standard local regional and systemic treatment with a curative intent, including surgery and neoadjuvant or adjuvant chemotherapy. They observed a 30% reduction in the risk of distant metastases and 24% reduction in the risk of death, suggesting that the addition of avelumab may have a role in patients with early triple-negative breast cancer patients who have a high risk for relapse after primary surgery or with invasive residual disease after neoadjuvant chemotherapy. So we can conclude that in triple-negative early-stage breast cancer deemed to be at high risk for recurrence, 1 year of adjuvant avelumab did improve the overall survival and the risk of distant disease-free survival. Now, regarding an important trial, and that's a little bit of a complex trial, it's called an I-SPY 2.2 trial. I need to give a little bit of an intro to understand how it was designed. So in order to understand the data from this I-SPY 2.2 trial, it's really critical to understand the trial design. So I-SPY trial began in 2010 as I-SPY 2. And it was considered the ultimate trial for patients with high-risk stage 2 or stage 3 breast cancer. And this study really looked at patients who are receiving paclitaxel plus a novel investigational agent in the first block of the trial, and then patients moved on to receive their traditional anthracycline and Cytoxan in the second block. Over 12 years, 23 drugs and drug combinations were evaluated, and 10 of those graduated. That means that they had a greater than 85% probability of success in a phase 3 confirmatory trial. And we learned a great deal about pathologic complete response, or PCR, as a prognostic marker, and about how to use serial MRIs and biopsies of the breast to predict PCR, and how to classify tumors based on predicted response to certain agents. And from these lessons, the I-SPY 2.2 trial was born. The I-SPY 2.2 trial uses something called SMART design, which stands for Sequential Multiple Assignment Randomized Trial Design. The goal of this trial was to maximize the chance of reaching PCR for each patient. And here patients can receive up to 3 blocks of treatment. The investigational treatment are usually in block A. It could be one drug or it could be a combination of drugs. And then block B is a taxane-based chemotherapy like Taxol. And block C is a traditional AC or Adriamycin and Cytoxan. And at the end of blocks A and B, an MRI and biopsies are used to determine the predicted residual cancer burden and if the likelihood of achieving PCR is high enough or not. So if it's high enough, then the patient could stop systemic therapy and go straight to surgery. But conversely, if the patient has little to no response early on in a block, we've learned that it may not be wise to continue. So in the I-SPY 2, we found that if somebody hadn't responded well by 6 weeks, the likelihood of them achieving complete response by 12 weeks is very unlikely. So in I-SPY 2.2, if by 6 weeks it's clear the patient is not responding, then we can actually forego the rest of the current treatment and start the next one in the hopes that it works better. So I'm giving you this intro because here I want to comment on a molecule that was studied in the I-SPY 2.2. This molecule belongs to the family of antibody drug conjugate, or ADCs. This is very important to understand. You know, I think we talked about this before, and an antibody drug conjugate is a molecule where they identify a surface marker on the cancer cell, they develop an antibody against this marker, and they link that antibody to a chemotherapy molecule through a little bit of a joint. It's called a linker. So it's formed of three parts: antibody, chemotherapy, linked together by a linker. So the ADCs, they're designed to improve the delivery of the cytotoxic drugs to the cancer cells. And many studies have shown that they have improved efficacy over traditional chemotherapy. It is a smart approach that is combining both the potent cell-killing ability of chemotherapy with the specificity of monoclonal antibodies. And the ADC that I want to talk about here is called darubotamab deruxtecan, also called Dato-DXd. And this is a highly potent antibody drug conjugate against a marker called TROP2. But we've already seen promising results from this agent in the trials like the Tropion Pan-Tumor 01. It's a basket trial with many different types of tumors. The Tropion Breast 01, and the arm of the I-SPY trial that was reported in ASCO was the patients who received Dato-DXd as an IV infusion once every 3 weeks for 4 cycles as their Block A investigational drug. And from August of 22 until June 2023, they were able to study 103 patients that came from 44 sites around the United States on Dato-DXd. And 33 of those patients went to surgery after block A. This means they had a great response. Conversely, 19 patients escalated early taxane-based therapy, and 69 patients in total went on to block B and or block C treatment. So we saw some impressive signals in the Dato arm in several subgroups, notably the immune positive patients and the triple negative DNA damage repair deficient patients and the triple negative group as a whole. but none of these subtypes quite met that statistical threshold for graduation. So the conclusion was 32% of the patients were able to skip traditional chemotherapy and go straight to surgery after four cycles of Dato-DXd, which is outstanding. This is showed a signal of activity in several subgroups, and there's a lot of interest in combining other agents with this drug. And they also reported on block A of the Dato-DXd along with another immunotherapy called durvalumab, and the results were very interesting, really. We are looking forward to seeing more data with this combination and several trials that we are currently enrolling patients on, including the TROPION-Breast04, which is for newly diagnosed triple-negative breast cancer patients who would like to forgo chemotherapy. They're offered the chance to be on this combination of Dato-DXd and durvalumab, and then we are going to assess their response after surgery. The I-SPY 2.2 continues to enroll robustly. It's a smart design study that aims at refining our approaches to the neoadjuvant or pre-surgical therapy over the years to come. One more trial, the EV-202. The EV stands for enfortumab vedotin. That's another ADC or antibody drug conjugate that is against a marker called Nectin-4. Nectin-4 is a cell adhesion molecule that is sometimes overexpressed in solid tumors like breast cancer and urothelial or bladder cancer. And when the antigen binds to this molecule, the payload or the chemotherapy portion, and they call it here, the chemotherapy is called MMAE, is released inside the cell and leads to cell death. And they studied patients with locally advanced cancer who had prior chemotherapy with taxane or anthracycline and had between 1 to 2 prior lines of chemotherapy in the advanced setting. If they were hormone receptor positive, they must have seen hormonal or endocrine therapy before. And for the triple negative subset, they were required to have prior immunotherapy based on their PD-L1 expression. The patients enrolled on the study received the drug called the enfortumab vedotin, also known as EV, on days 1, 8, 15 of each 28-day cycle. And the primary endpoint of the study was to look at the investigator-assessed confirmed objective response rate. So the objective response rate for the hormone receptor cohort was 15.6%, and for the triple negative cohort was 19%. The pre-specified objective response rate or the efficacy threshold wasn't met, and so that was a negative trial. And you know, this is a good time to acknowledge the importance of every clinical trial. Even though positive trials provide new promising agents that could become a new treatment option, negative trials helps us clarify which new treatments do not work, and both of them are important in putting us on the right track to eventually improve the standard of care and move the field forward. So in closing, I think there's a lot of excitement regarding new approaches in treatment of triple-negative breast cancer, and specifically in the field of the antibody drug conjugate, or ADCs. That field seems to be still in the very beginning with a lot of potential moving forward. I will stop at this point, and back to you, Dr. Messner.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Hussain. That was just a wonderful presentation, just stellar. And you certainly set the stage for today's program by addressing so many of the updates from ASCO on triple-negative breast cancer. And I know there'll be a lot of questions for you during the Q&A, so thank you so much. Thanks so much for your presentation. And our next speaker is Dr. Nilam Desai. And Dr. Desai is hematology, medical oncology, Atrium Health, Levine Cancer Institute. And Dr. Desai will be addressing new developments in the prevention and management of treatment side effects, symptoms, discomfort, and pain, communicating with the healthcare team with key questions to ask, and guidelines to prepare her telemedicine appointments, including technology, prepare list of questions, and discussion of open notes with your healthcare team. It's now my great pleasure to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Desai.
Thank you so much for this kind introduction and giving me the opportunity to speak with you all today. So in terms of new updates regarding management of treatment side effects and symptoms, there are some important abstracts that I wanted to review with everyone. Two of them have to do with managing taxane-related neuropathy, and two of them have to do with managing side effects from one of the newer drugs that have been approved in metastatic triple-negative breast cancer, sacituzumab govitecan. So sacituzumab govitecan is another antibody-drug conjugate. As was explained earlier, the idea is to target chemotherapy more to cancer cells and spare collateral damage that we typically see with cytotoxic chemotherapy. So in this molecule, the TROP2 is the antibody that the chemotherapy is directed towards, and TROP4 isomerase inhibitor is the chemotherapy payload. And this drug has been approved for advanced triple-negative metastatic breast cancer based on a phase 3 trial that showed significant improvement in both progression-free survival and overall survival. However, it does come with some significant side effects, predominantly neutropenia or low white cell count and diarrhea. So in the original trial, The incidence of any grade diarrhea was more than 60%, and severe diarrhea was almost 50%. Severe diarrhea was 10%. Neutropenia was also 60%, and severe neutropenia was 50%. So in one of the abstracts, what they did was instead of being reactive in terms of managing side effects, they basically said that if we are proactive and we give these patients growth factor support and Imodium ahead of time, that they would have lesser incidence of these side effects. So in this trial, patients who qualified to get the drug, sacituzumab govitecan, were given GCSF on days 3 and 4, as well as 10 and 11, after receiving the sacituzumab govitecan on day 1 and day 8. They were also given Imodium to take twice a day on the first 3 days after each infusion of sacituzumab govitecan. 50 patients were enrolled in this study, and after 2 cycles, they looked at the incidence of neutropenia and diarrhea. And sure enough, they had significant improvement in both. So any grade neutropenia went down from around 60% to 28%, and any grade diarrhea was improved from 59% to 34%. Severe neutropenia, grade 3 or higher, was seen in only about 16% of patients, and severe diarrhea was only seen in about 4% of patients. So in conclusion, in order to successfully give this medication, which has been shown to improve survival, if we are proactive about managing side effects with growth factor support and Imodium, that certainly helps more patients get this drug for longer without any interruptions, reductions, or discontinuations because of side effects. And along the same vein, there was another abstract trying to address the same concern that sacituzumab is a great drug. However, the side effects limit our ability to give these medications to most people successfully. And so this looked at a drug called trilaciclib, which is a reversible cyclin-dependent kinase 4-6 inhibitor. And the idea is that this would protect the hematopoietic stem cell or progenitor cells during chemotherapy. So in this trial, about 30 patients were enrolled, and they were all given this drug, trilaciclib, followed by the infusion of sacituzumab govitecan on day 1 and day 8. And they were primarily looking at neutropenia rates and diarrhea. And in this trial as well, they did see significant improvement both in neutropenia, so rates of severe neutropenia were down to 23% compared to 51%, and rates of severe diarrhea were down to 6.7% compared to 10%. So in conclusion, either of these options are reasonable to, again, manage proactively the high rates of neutropenia and diarrhea, allowing most patients to get access to the mevrometostat, which is a very effective drug in triple-negative breast cancer. Moving on to the two abstracts that I found interesting in terms of managing taxane neuropathy. One was looking at cryotherapy. So cryotherapy is when we ask patients to immerse their hands and feet, their extremities in ice-cold setting, either it's ice packs or gloves that are icy cold, to help lower the chance of getting neuropathy from taxane, which is very common. And cryocompression is when, in addition to that, there's compression of the hands and feet, idea being that that perhaps would be more effective than cryotherapy by itself. So in this trial, they looked at about 200 patients, and they were randomized to doing just cryotherapy or cryocompression. And it showed that basically cryocompression was not any better than doing simple cryotherapy in terms of reducing the risk of neuropathy. So my takeaway from that was that you could use cryotherapy just as well without worrying about adding the compression piece to that. The other trial that I thought was very interesting, although technically a negative trial, was as they have identified certain genetic changes in African American women as being associated with higher risk of developing taxane-based neuropathy. So in this trial, they looked took women with early-stage breast cancer of African American heritage, and they did genotyping to see whether they had genetic changes that put them in a high risk or a lower risk of developing neuropathy. And they were then either given weekly Taxol or every three-week docetaxol and compared to women who fell in the low-risk range to see if there was a difference in the rates of neuropathy if you had the high-risk genetic signature or the low-risk genetic signature, and if there was a difference in neuropathy between the taxanes that were given. So in this trial, basically, they showed that the whether you had a high-risk germline variation or low-risk, it didn't really impact the risk of developing neuropathy with either drug. What is not surprising is that docetaxel was less likely to cause severe neuropathy compared to weekly Taxol, but that is something that we do know. So it didn't tell us that knowing the genetic signature ahead of time may help you understand who was going to get the neuropathy, but the conclusion of the trial was to suggest that perhaps in African-American women who have a higher rate of developing neuropathy, that we should consider docetaxel as the preferred taxane over paclitaxel. So those were the important research information in terms of symptom management for patients with triple-negative breast cancer. I briefly want to just talk a little bit about the other topics, specifically communicating with your healthcare team and key questions to ask. So I would say the number one thing, especially with a brand new diagnosis and where you going in to meet your team for the first time, is bringing someone with you at the appointment. A lot of patients do tell me they're, of course, understandably overwhelmed. So a lot of information that is being given is difficult to retain. So having that is helpful. They can listen in, be a second pair of ear, and help you take notes. Important to ask some important questions like what is the stage, what is the goal of treatment, whether it's caught in an early stage and the goal is cure, or if it's more advanced and the goal is control of disease. Understanding the different modality of treatment options, whether it's chemotherapy, surgery, radiation, immunotherapy, and the order in which these are being recommended. And of course, the team would talk to you about the benefits and side effects of treatment, but asking specifically for literature on these medications or surgical questions, radiation therapy is also helpful. In terms of telemedicine, that became very common since pandemic, I would say that obviously be aware of the technology you would use. So in our health system, if you have the patient app for our EMR, you can log into the video chat that way, but you want to be aware how that's going to occur, making sure you have internet connection, a quiet place to be. A lot of states are very specific about the physical location, even though you are doing a video visit or a televisit. They want you still to be present in the specific state that your physician and you are resident to, so that those are the things to clarify. And then always have a list of questions to ask, because sometimes televisits can be quick, and so if you're not don't have the list of questions, you might not be able to get to all the things that are important to go over. In terms of open notes, people may or may not be aware that now everything is available on the patient portal in real time, usually, including notes and results. And so sometimes people get a notification that there's a new result in their chart, and then if you've got a new scan or some labs you don't understand, I usually, you know, sort of try to schedule a visit with my patients within a couple of days of having the scan. But everybody is different, and some people really need to know right away, and others may get overwhelmed by all the medical jargon. So that perhaps do not to be prepared for that and not delve into that if it's a weekend or a time when you will not be able to easily contact your provider to have some clarification. But those are the main things I wanted to cover today, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you. Back to you, Dr. Messner.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Desai. That was a wonderful presentation. With providing people with lots of information, I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A, just a stellar presentation. Thank you so much. And our next speaker is Ms. Haley Dinnerman. Ms. Dinnerman is a lawyer by profession, and she's co-founder and executive director of the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation. And Ms. Dinnerman will be addressing the free programs and services of the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, including giving you their telephone number and website as well. It's really my great pleasure now to turn this program over to Ms. Dinnerman, who really has been a long-term funder of a number of programs that we've done on triple negative breast cancer, and just a great support of the triple negative breast cancer community. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Ms. Dinnerman.
Thank you so much for that introduction, Dr. Messner, and thank you also to my fellow presenters for your excellent updates and for the insights on emerging research and treatment options. It goes without saying that TNBC-specific medical research is extremely important to our foundation. We support research at leading medical institutions, and we work hard to inform you about any new developments in clinical trials, educating our community with updates from major medical conferences like ASCO, AACR, NSABCS is critical. So if you're interested in receiving these updates, please be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X. This teleconference is one of many programs offered by the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation. We offer many TNBC-specific educational brochures and fact sheets that are available for you in print and as free downloads from our website. We work hard to make sure that you can find relevant information and practical guidance in all of our materials, so I hope you'll use them to your benefit. Our website, tnbcfoundation.org, offers two free and TNBC-specific clinical trials matching services that are easier to navigate than other portals. Our website also has a TNBC news section and online discussion forums. Our other online resources include two private TNBC Foundation Facebook groups, so you can easily connect with thousands of women who are living with TNBC. These resources are here to help you and to remind you that you're not alone. Additionally, we have a number of monthly Zoom meetups for our TNBC community. They are Metastatic Mondays, Tuesdays with TNBC Friends, and Thriver Thursdays. And in partnership with Touch, the Black Breast Cancer Alliance, we also have an additional monthly Zoom meetup specifically for Black women. Our community Zoom meetups give you regular opportunities to connect with your peers and with the foundation. And with respect to research, we're already thinking ahead to our next medical conference. This December, we'll be at the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium to bring you information about new and emerging TNBC research. We will have extensive interactive programming around this conference so that our community can interact with researchers and doctors at the conference. If you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, or visit our website, you'll get regular updates and be able to register for these and all other upcoming programs. So once again, thank you for joining us, and I'll now turn back our program to Dr. Messner.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Zinnemann, and thank you for that, the wonderful resources that you provide to the triple negative breast cancer community and all the work that you do. Thank you. And our next speaker is Ms. Cassie Spector. Ms. Spector is an oncology social worker. She's our breast and gynecological cancer program coordinator at Cancer Care, and she'll be discussing Cancer Care's free programs and services for people living with triple negative breast cancer and their loved ones. And we'll also provide information about our Hope Line and website as well. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Ms. Spector.
Thank you, Dr. Messner. As mentioned, my name is Cassie Spector, and I'm the breast and gynecological cancers program coordinator and oncology social worker at Cancer Care. My role includes working with individuals diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer and their families, as well as developing programs and initiatives for Cancer Care's Breast and Gynecological Cancers Program. The Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care have partnered together to ensure those diagnosed with TNBC have access to free psychosocial services and support. The Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation Helpline, which is generously funded by the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, provides callers with access to comprehensive services. Some of these services the TNBC Foundation and Cancer Care provide include resource navigation, counseling, support groups, educational workshops, publications, and limited financial assistance. By calling the TNBC helpline, individuals are connected with an oncology social worker that is aware of the physical, emotional, and practical challenges that may arise when diagnosed with TNBC. There are many aspects of a TNBC diagnosis that could be addressed through psychosocial supportive services. By calling the TNBC helpline, one of our social workers can help navigate ways to seek support services. Individuals diagnosed with TNBC may choose to supplement existing social networks by joining a support group or engaging in counseling. Many hospitals, treatment centers, and nonprofit organizations offer supportive services. Joining a support group in particular can offer the chance for TNBC patients to speak to one another, gather information, and provide support to each other. The Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care offer TNBC-specific national online support groups for those diagnosed as well as their loved ones. These support groups are moderated by oncology social workers. You can register for an online support group by going onto Cancer Care's website, cancercare.org, and by selecting our services and then going to support groups. Individuals may also experience practical and financial concerns throughout one's treatment. Please know if you're encountering any financial hardships, there's organizations that may be able to help. Cancer Care's Resource Navigation Program offers short-term strength-based approach service to patients and caregivers affected by cancer nationally. A trained specialist will work with the client, connecting them with resources, referrals, and financial assistance. If you're interested in learning more about the services that the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care offer, I encourage you to call the TNBC helpline. The number is 877-880-8622. Our oncology social workers can share additional information about our services and help connect you to other support groups, financial assistance resources. It's been such a pleasure to be part of this informative program today. Thank you for your attention, and I'll turn it back to Dr. Messner.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Spector. That was a wonderful presentation, and I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. And I'm now going to move right on to the Q&A. And Rob, if you could explain to everybody how to queue up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will take questions from the web only. You may submit questions by clicking Ask a Question.
Okay, so a lot of questions here, so we may not be able to take all of them, but we'll take as many as we can. First question is for Dr. Hussain. Should a triple negative tumor be tested before neoadjuvant chemo to correctly select the regimen which will give the best chance of pathologic complete response?
Yeah, so that's a great question and definitely a big concern in the field. However, currently the standard of care when a patient presents with a new diagnosis of breast cancer, everybody needs to get a biopsy for tissue confirmation and a standard pathologic evaluation where we look at the three markers, the estrogen, progesterone, and the HER2 marker. And this gives us the diagnosis of triple negative breast cancer. We do other testing, including we comment on the grade, which is the level of activity of the cells or how angry the cells look like, 1, 2, or 3. The proliferation index, which is how proliferative the tumor is, and those are standard for every tumor. The treatment for triple negative breast cancer in every clinic right now, according to the FDA-approved treatment, is really standard. And we mainly focus on the staging of the cancer, whether we are going to recommend chemotherapy alone or chemotherapy in combination with immunotherapy, like the KEYNOTE 522 trial that we discussed. So we don't have the capability of tailoring therapy to maximize the chances of achieving this endpoint, the PCR, like the I-SPY trial. That is something done in a trial design, not standard of care. And then the last piece that I want to comment on is the decision of when to administer the chemotherapy. Is it going to be administered before surgery or after surgery? And I think right now we try to do our best to offer most patients chemotherapy before surgery in order to use it as a test while the tumor still is in the patient's body to compare before and after and see how responsive the tumor is to that type of therapy, which helps us a lot in prognosticating based on the type of responses the patient achieves.
Thank you. And next question for you, Dr. Hussain. If a patient has very low expression, less than 10% of estrogen or progesterone, are they still considered a triple?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And I think we do have data, finally, regarding that. For patients who express estrogen and progesterone less than 10%, we call them low expressors. And usually that is not behaving like your classic hormone receptor positive breast cancer, but more triple negative-like behavior. And there are two excellent trials that have shown that immunotherapy, in addition to chemotherapy, does lead to significant responses in this population. So I do envision that in the very near future, we're going to be treating those patients in a very different way than what we use for the hormone receptor setting and very much like the triple negative subtype.
Excellent. And the next question for you, Dr. Hussain. If a metastatic patient progresses, should her tumor be sent in again for genomic testing?
Yeah, so we try to do that. We try to do that and I will be honest, it's more commonly done in the hormone receptor positive setting just because we have identifiable targets that can drive the decision for the next line in therapy. However, in triple negative setting, it's less so. So what I normally do in my practice is I do have an initial biopsy. I do offer my patients first line of therapy. And upon progression, it's always good practice to re-biopsy the tumor. And we are mainly concerned about confirmation of the receptors, making sure that it's still triple negative and it hasn't really changed itself. And there is some positivity that is seen in one of the three markers. But in terms of using it for detecting new targets, I think it's a very good practice, but not so many options as triple negative breast cancer. I want to take this opportunity also to remind everybody about the importance of genetic testing for all of our metastatic patients, where if we do have certain mutations, including the BRCA1, BRCA2, and the PALB2, we used to think of only genomic mutations, which are mutations present in every cell in the body, but now we know that there is also maybe a role also for the somatic mutations that are present in the tumor cells. And that would show up on an NGS testing.
Another question for you, Dr. Hussain. What are the differences between Guardant 360, Tempus, and Signatera?
So they are different. So in the way that we use them, and I think there's a lot of technicalities involved here. So we would use NGS panels or next generation sequencing in order to identify targets on the surface of or in the tumor cells. And those are tests like Foundation One and Guardant 360. There are other tests that are geared more towards detecting the circulating tumor cells and cell-free DNA, and those are still struggling to find its place in the current day-to-day practice. I think they will serve a lot, especially in certain scenarios in breast cancer, but right now the use is very sporadic and it's not streamlined between all practices, and we don't have any guidelines that are solid enough to guide when to order those and how to use them and in what scenario and what to do with the positive tests and so forth. So it's one of them is detecting targets that could lead to new therapeutics, and the other one is looking for reemergence of tumor cells in the circulation to detect response to therapy or early recurrence, and those are not quite clarified as much.
Thank you. And Dr. Desai, could you comment on is Omada standard of care in postmenopausal women? If so, how long after can it be given for prevention?
So they have looked at several studies to see whether Zometa, which is a bisphosphonate and is typically used for treatment of osteopenia or osteoporosis, often it's given to our patients who have hormone receptor positive breast cancer and are getting aromatase inhibitor where they have lowering of the bone density. However, it's been evaluated to see whether it helps improve breast cancer outcomes. So several trials have shown either no benefit or small benefit. Ultimately, meta-analysis was done and it suggested there might be a small benefit in terms of a disease-free survival for breast cancer patients. So I do offer it to most of my patients, at least discuss it, that are at higher risk. So triple negative breast cancer patients or node-positive, hormone-receptor-positive patients, and we have a discussion about the small potential benefit. If we decide to move forward with it, it's usually given every 6 months for 3 years. That's how the trials were designed for that particular purpose.
Excellent. And I have another question for you, Dr. Desai. Any updates on the efficacy of the triple-negative vaccine trials?
I am not aware. Dr. Hussain might be.
Dr. Hussain, do you want to comment on that?
There are a lot of vaccine trials that are ongoing, not only for triple negative breast cancer, but also for the HER2 positive breast cancer. I do know that we do have some exciting results, but those are very early and preliminary results. I don't know that any of them are ready for use in clinic yet. I'm aware of phase one trials for novel vaccines that could eventually prevent triple negative breast cancer with good results, but I don't have specifics regarding anything that is done in a large scale clinical trial.
And another question for you, Dr. Hussain. What is the chemo of choice after Trodelvy or and or and Enhertu, if already failed all other traditional chemos and Keytruda in stage four?
Okay, so to clarify, if I understood this question correctly, this is a stage four, and I assume it's a triple negative breast cancer patient who has been treated previously with Keytruda and chemotherapy, and usually second line, we would use an antibody drug conjugate, typically the Trodelvy or sacituzumab govitecan. And then this patient also saw Enhertu, which is TDXD, another antibody drug conjugate. You know, after that, typically our standard of care is to use chemotherapy, either monotherapy or combination therapies. So we have a lot of monotherapies that are quite commonly used, including Zoloda, Capecitabine, that's an oral chemotherapy, taxanes like Abraxane or Taxol single agent, Gemcitabine. There is one chemotherapy called Eribulin, also referred to as Halaven, and that one is probably one of the few, the only one that I'm aware of that has overall survival data in the third line and further. So there are many options of single agent chemotherapies or combinations like carboplatin and gemcitabine in the late stages after the patient has seen immunotherapy and antibody drug conjugates.
Excellent, thank you. And I just want to let everybody know that our next triple negative breast cancer workshop will take place on Wednesday, September 18th on triple negative breast cancer, coping with the fear of recurrence. Also, I'm going to ask our speakers to just provide some takeaways for our audience. So I'm going to start with Dr. Hussain, then Dr. Desai, and then Ms. Spector.
Yeah, I think the one thing that gives me a lot of hope and makes me very excited is really what the new advances have done, and more specifically, the antibody drug conjugates. I think that this is a field that is hopefully one day in the very near future will continue to improve. I think it's just at its dawn, really, and has a lot of potential moving forward.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And Dr. Desai, a takeaway?
Yeah, building on that, the antibody drug conjugates are definitely very exciting. As you mentioned, Trodelvy has really shown significant improvement in survival, and there are other antibody drug conjugates coming up. So main thing is really focusing on managing the side effects, as we talked about earlier, and making sure that unnecessary interruptions, early discontinuations do not occur. And I think all these abstracts we talked about are looking at that as well, which is very thoughtful.
And thank you so much. And Ms. Spector, would you like to comment as well?
Sure, thank you. So my takeaway would be to know that there's support out there, whether you're looking for professional, emotional support, whether you're looking for a support group, financial assistance, there's organizations there to assist you. So reach out for support and know that there are support groups specifically for triple negative breast cancer as well. So my takeaway is really just to reach out for support and know that there are organizations there to help you.
Well, thank you so much. I want to thank our speakers. I also want to thank our participants. We have done a program like this before, but I have to say the questions that people have asked today have been very, very, very exceptional, and our speakers have been exceptional as well. So it's been a really great program, and I apologize that we can't take everyone's questions because we just really don't unfortunately, there's just too many people on the call and too many questions. But I do want to say something about the questions. For those of you who asked a question, or for those of you who have a question yet to ask, please take your questions to your treating healthcare team. So even though if you asked a question today, please ask it of your treating healthcare team. Remember, they know you the best. They have your records, and they know everything about you. So to some extent, unlike this program, we don't have your medical records in front of you. We simply have your question, and we answer it in a general way, but then you want to take this back to your treating healthcare team. Also, please know that you have resources available to you, both from the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care, and you'll be getting a Survey Monkey within about a week of this program, and in that Survey Monkey will include all the resources that were mentioned during the program, as well as resources that you can use going forward Again, I want to thank you all for your participation today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop, and you may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.